This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As some of you know, last weekend I was in California speaking at an event known as Love Fest. Now, that word Love Fest sounds bad, I know, especially because it's the name of an event in California. However, the Love Fest event is actually very good. It's very good because it is an event for older youth and adults, sponsored by one of our own Missouri Synod Lutheran congregations out there. Over 1,000 youth and adults showed up at this Love Fest. In fact, their oldest registrant was 94. Over 1,000 people show up at this event every year to learn what God teaches us in His Word about dating, marriage, and sexuality in that order. Many issues are discussed at this event. One of the issues that is discussed is how God wants us to use His gift of sex. And this includes sexual kissing. Of course, we first must distinguish the difference between sexual kissing and non-sexual kissing. For example, sexual kissing, passionate kissing on the lips, is the kind of kissing we should reserve for our spouse. In contrast, though, non-sexual kissing is something that you can do with a family member or a good friend to show non-sexual love and affection. For example, some parents will give their children a non-sexual kiss on the cheek to show affection. Some friends will give each other a non-sexual kiss on the cheek to show their affection for each other. In fact, in some cultures, even men will give each other a non-sexual kiss on the cheek to show their love and affection for each other. And this activity among men was especially common in Jesus' day. That's right. In Jesus' day, it was very common for a Jewish man to kiss another Jewish man in a non-sexual way. Men who were good friends would often greet each other with a non-sexual kiss on the cheek as a way to show their love and affection for each other. Well, now that you understand that, you can begin to realize why Jesus was so hurt by what Judas did, as recorded in today's gospel reading from Luke chapter 22. In fact, today's gospel reading begins where last Sunday's gospel reading left off. Jesus and his apostles are still on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus had just finished praying to his Father, preparing for his suffering and death on the cross for us. Earlier that evening, Jesus had predicted that one of his own 12 apostles would betray him. Now, Jesus didn't tell the other apostles who it was, but Jesus knew it was Judas. With that said, listen again to the beginning of our gospel reading. While Jesus was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Now, why does Judas kiss Jesus? We might think that it's because he has affection for Jesus, but we know that's not the case because he's about to betray him. So why does Judas kiss Jesus? We know from Scripture that this was a signal. A signal to the Jewish leaders to show which man was Jesus. You see, at this time of night, it was pitch dark. And the Jewish leaders wanted to be sure they didn't arrest the wrong man. So Judas told them, "The one I kiss, he's the one." However, when Judas kisses Jesus, Jesus says, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Here we see that Jesus is still trying to save Judas. You see, Judas doesn't believe that Jesus is God. Therefore, he doesn't think that Jesus knows what he's trying to do. But Jesus is God, and so Jesus knows. Jesus knows that Judas is planning to betray him. Therefore, when Jesus says, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Jesus is thereby exposing Judas's hypocrisy. You see, by kissing Jesus, Judas is pretending to love Jesus. But the fact is that Judas doesn't love Jesus at all because he is willing to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. My friends, God wanted nothing more than for Judas to repent and trust in Jesus as his Savior. Even after betraying Jesus, if Judas would have repented and asked Jesus for forgiveness, Jesus would have forgiven Judas, just as Jesus forgave Peter, and just as Jesus forgave the sinful woman in our reading, and just as Jesus has forgiven you so many times. But sadly, Judas did not repent, and he would not believe that Jesus was his Lord and Savior. Therefore, Judas ended up in hell. And he had no one to blame but himself, because God did everything possible to save him. Now, when the Jewish leaders began to arrest Jesus, his apostles attempt to fight back. One of them even cuts off the right ear of the high priest's servant. But then Jesus rebukes his apostles and he heals the man's ear. Do you see what's happening here? Jesus is actually in control of the whole situation. You see, if Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, he could use his almighty power to wipe out his enemies. But as we learned from the sermon last Sunday, Jesus willingly drank the cup of God's wrath against our sin so that we might be forgiven and have eternal life in God's love. Jesus went to the cross willingly for you, for me, for Judas, for all people. Therefore, Jesus says to the Jewish leaders who refuse to believe in him, he says, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns." Here we see that Jesus is also exposing their hypocrisy as he did with Judas. Rather than arresting him in broad daylight and risking the wrath of the crowds, they have to sneak out at night and arrest him. Jesus exposes their hypocrisy in the hope that they will repent and trust in him. That leads to a question. What if those Jewish leaders had repented and trusted in Jesus? What if they had never handed Jesus over to the Romans? What if Pilate had never sentenced Jesus to be crucified? Have you ever thought of that? Well, it didn't happen that way, and so we will never know for sure unless God tells us one day. But my opinion is this, based on the flow of the Old Testament. Simply put, if Jesus had not been arrested, I think what would have happened is that he would have walked back to the temple in Jerusalem where he had been teaching all week. He would have entered the Holy of Holies. He would have lain down on the altar where all the animal sacrifices for centuries has been offered, the animal sacrifices that were pointing ahead to his sacrifice. He would have laid down on that altar, and there the Father would have killed his own Son to save us. But of course it didn't happen that way. Instead of laying down on the altar in the Holy of Holies, Jesus willingly laid his body down on the rough wood of the cross. And there he willingly suffered and died for our salvation, as was his Father's will. But here's what's important. No one forced him to go to the cross. It was part of God's plan all along that the Father would sacrifice his one and only Son to save us, to save us sinners. But as you know, Jesus' loving sacrifice didn't end in death. Just as Jesus had predicted, 3 days later he rose from the dead, thereby proving that he is indeed the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, thereby showing that those who take refuge in him will be blessed with not only forgiveness, but also eternal life in God's love. Now, what's the point of all of this that I've said thus far? Simply put, God wants you to kiss the Son. In other words, God wants you to trust in Jesus as your best friend who loved you so much that he was willing to die for you. In our first reading from Psalm 2, God tells us about the foolishness of those who reject the Son. Such people will eventually face the wrath of his Son on the final day. But God doesn't want that to happen to any sinner. Therefore, at the end of Psalm 2, God says to us, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Now, when God says, "Kiss the Son," in that culture, he simply means that we should view his Son as our best friend. We should love him. We should trust him. Why? Because Jesus, the Son, is our God and Savior and our only hope of salvation from sin and death. Now, Judas kissed Jesus, but it was all an act. He really didn't believe that Jesus was God. He really didn't believe that he needed to trust in Jesus as his Savior. Many people in this world are tempted to put on an act. They go through the motions of religiosity, but they really don't believe. May God rescue us from that kind of demonic attitude. Sadly, Judas will have to face the wrath of God on the final day. But the woman in our second reading, remember, she also kissed Jesus. And her kisses were sincere. She loved Jesus, and she loved him because he had forgiven her many sins. In the same way, Jesus has forgiven your many sins. Like that woman in our second reading, we also long to kiss the Son. In other words, we love Jesus and we praise Jesus and we thank Jesus for his forgiveness and also for the eternal life with him that he has given us. You know, one day you will see Jesus face to face. He will embrace you with his loving arms. And you know what? He might even give you a kiss on the cheek because you are his dearly loved child. Until that day, you get to live a new life in this world, a new life as God's forgiven child, just like that woman in our gospel reading. So never forget these words from the end of Psalm 2. Kiss the Son. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God